Judges 11, verses 29 to 33. And in the New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 and 33, and also 39 and 43. So Judges 11, 29 to 33. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnith, as far as Abel Keramim. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. And then over in Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 and 33. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And then down, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal, rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. It's a blessing to be here with all of you. And I want to thank you for the opportunity that you, as a church, have given me to be here. I've heard so many things that's saying that's been a blessing, but it's a blessing for myself, you know, and I praise God for that and for this opportunity. So, and I want to encourage you to remain faithful, because our God, He will be faithful to us, and He will be faithful to CTC as a church. Remember, we are one body, one head, who is Christ, right? And we are here to serve Him and praise His name. So tonight, God put in my heart to talk about decisions. And every day we are faced with them, and we need to make our choices. Small ones sometimes, like some people can decide if they should get out of the bed or not, right? Some of those lazy days. Sometimes we can decide if we should go to work or just enjoy a relaxing day off. Should we help someone in need or not? Should we do some exercises? If we wait a little bit, that desire will go away, right? Sometimes we need to make some big decisions, like getting married, having kids, changing jobs if an opportunity knocks at the door. Even registering the kids for school can be a big one and impact the whole family. Maybe it's moving to a new place, restoring a broken relationship. Things start to get more difficult. Either when you need to ask for forgiveness or you need to forgive someone, it can be a hard decision to make. And if you have ever considered some decision-making steps, you would evaluate your goals, and then the man would go, "Is it achievable? Possibly not. So let's do it," right? You would consider your options, the pros and cons, and even the costs involved with that. Can you afford it? So, what are the possible consequences for that decision? Then you get to the point where you make the decision, and a little bit later you evaluate it. And if you're a Christian, you pray, or you should pray through the whole process, right? Asking God to guide you. So every day we need to make those choices that will impact us for a short time, sometimes for quite a while, or maybe even for the rest of our lives. Sometimes we get them right, and I'm sure that's your case. Other times we get them wrong, and they don't work as we expect. There are many times when we make poor choices, and even foolish ones, and I'm sure that's not your case, right? Good. And we have lots of examples in the Bible from the Word of God to help us to get it right and make the best choice we can. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that it will not sugarcoat anything to prepare us to understand God's plan for us and for this world. And as you saw that, those passages that were read before, I'll share a couple of those stories with you. So, Judges chapter 11. That man, Jephthah, was a judge in Israel. And during the time between the death of Joshua, after they had entered the promised land, and when Saul became their king, God would send a judge or a deliverer when the Israelites usually cried for help because of the foreigners' oppression over them. So Jephthah was a man of character, a strong warrior. In such a position, we would consider him a wise man, which he was. He was a passionate guy, and he wanted to give his best to God. And as we saw on the text there, he defeated the Ammonites. He conquered them, right? He got the victory for the Israelites. But he made a vow to God. So, as we read that before, he said, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's. And I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." And for his anguish, what happened? Verses 34 and 35 says, when he returned to his home in Mishpah, who should come out to meet him but his own daughter, dancing to the sound of timbrels. She was an only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh no, my daughter! You have brought me down and I am devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." And then we go, what in the world was he thinking? Who would he expect to come out of his house? Right? So, he was already empowered by the Spirit of God to achieve the victory. There was no need for him to make such vow. God didn't ask him to do that. In fact, when God asks us to do something for Him, it may hurt as we are being adjusted to His plans. It may be hard, but God will never ask you and me more than we can give Him. Do you get that? He could have stopped Jephthah, but he does not control people like that, like a robot, to do what he wants. We have our free will, and the man had the freedom to make a vow to God, even if it was a foolish one. There's so much to unpack from this story, but we find out that he followed through with his vow. If he did not, that would have been a bigger mistake, even. Sometimes our passion can lead us to make wrong choices. So we need to be careful. Do you get yourself passionate? I'm sure you do. We don't want to live a dull life. We want to live with passion, because passion helps us to get going. But it also, on itself, can become dangerous and out of control. Even when we are in a good place, we can make poor choices, as we saw in the example of Jephthah. Other times, we are so frustrated, angry, stressed, maybe disappointed, that it becomes easier to make choices that will hurt ourselves and people around us. And we'll probably regret those decisions later. We want to get it right. We want to make it right. We always want to make the best decisions we can. Isn't that right? In the other Bible text that we read in Luke, we saw those two guys that were facing exactly the same situation, but their decision gave them two very different outcomes, as we read in Luke chapter 23. I'm talking about the two criminals that were crucified with Jesus Christ. The thieves were suffering and being crucified because of their wrongdoings. The first one chose to be angry, to rebel. He was echoing the Jewish crowd and challenged Jesus Christ as the Messiah, at least to save himself from death. In desperation, his decision was to insult and attack the only one who could have saved him. The second thief chose to recognize his mistakes. He rebuked his fellow thief, friend thief. He understood why they were suffering and that Christ had done nothing wrong to deserve to die like that. Because Jesus Christ was a sinless man, dying between two thieves. We are not told by Luke how that thief recognized that Christ was innocent, repented, and asked for forgiveness. This man believed that somehow Jesus Christ would conquer death. Certainly, that man did not say all this, but it was implied in this statement, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He recognized his need for help. That was the best call he could have made. The repentant thief was even evangelizing his partner in crimes. "Don't you fear God?" he asked him. In a certain way, he was saying, "We need to repent. We need to change our lives. So we are hopeless, and hope is available through the Messiah, the man that is in between us here." This man can give us eternal life with God. Can you feel that man's passion? Even suffering, he could shout, "I am going to heaven." And that tells us a lot about how amazing God's grace and mercies are. Because that thief did not deserve to be forgiven like that, but God's grace allowed him to go to heaven. We can see how passionate that man became, but passion without wisdom is not the right way. Being angry with God and rejecting Him is far from being the right choice. What would be a wise decision then? As we saw, one of the thieves made a wise call. He did not miss the opportunity to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. And I want to go to a very small verse in the Old Testament now. Amos, actually half of the verse. Amos chapter 5, verse 6. The prophet says, seek the Lord and live. The prophet Amos was calling and challenging God's people to return to the heart of worship. They did not have the passion for a true worship in their hearts anymore. It had become like a business, meaningless. They were just following a tradition that they learned from their forefathers. God still wanted to invite his people to seek him and live. This is God's call to a true worship based on a personal relationship with him. As the prophet Amos tells us, seek the Lord and live. How does this look like in our lives today? So, the practice of going through the motions of worship is not enough to please God. We can get into a point where our worship can just become a routine. We can lose the passion and it can become meaningless. Yes, even for those who have been a Christian for a long time. God calls us to seek him, to seek a personal relationship with him. He is worthy of our best choices. We honor him through worship. We also honor him with our daily attitudes and choices, like being thankful in all circumstances, loving our spouses, loving mom and dad, loving our family. Do the best in our work. Teach our kids or grandkids the ways of the Lord. Sometimes the decisions we need to make are difficult. Very difficult. I don't know if you have heard about Corrie Ten Boom during the Second World War in Europe. So she and her sister Betsy were in a concentration camp during the Second World War. Even going through so much pain and suffering, her younger sister Betsy, who had some serious health problems by the way, had decided to be thankful to God in all circumstances. She was even thankful for the fleas. Yes, you got that right. For the fleas. Why? Because the guards would not come inside their dorm where they could read the Bible and pray. So, Betsy died before they were released from the camp. Few years after, Corrie was released. She met the guard who had been so cruel to her and her sister while they were in that camp. After one of her talks, he came forward and he stuck out his hand. He said, I have become a Christian and I know that God has forgiven me, but will you forgive me? Would she? Could she? Or forgive that man? Or would her past pain make her bitter? So, here are her words. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotional. I know that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, she silently prayed. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I shook his hand, and as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started on my shoulder, racing down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flow my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. She had made her decision. She looked at him. "I forgive you, brother. With all my heart, I forgive you." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand, the former guarder and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let me repeat that. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. How wonderful it was for her that she made the right decision. Because if she let her heart be hardened, she wouldn't have forgiven that man, and she wouldn't have experienced this amazing feeling coming from God. By no means it was easy for her to forgive someone that had brought so much suffering to her life. And you and I, maybe you may be in a position where you have an important decision to make. It may be difficult. It may be hard. But you need to face it. Maybe you cannot procrastinate that anymore. And you may not be aware that God loves you and wants a relationship with you. So, and today God's calling you to seek Him and live. Seek Him and live. So first, I want to address you if you have not invited Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Savior yet. I don't know where you are in your faith. But like those two thieves on the cross, you have two options to decide on. First, God's calling you to seek Him and experience a new life that only He can offer you. The other option is just to continue to deny Him and stay where you are. But be aware that one day you will be facing eternal death. There will be, unfortunately, no more options for you then. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, "Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him." God's reward for us is eternal life, where we will rejoice His presence forever. So, what do you need to do? Choose to seek Jesus Christ. He is inviting you to experience that personal relationship. And second, if you already had that commitment to follow Jesus Christ, I have a question for you. What gives you motivation to be here? Maybe it's time for you to reevaluate your relationship with God. Don't let anything come between you and your relationship with Him. Is your relationship with God the main reason why you come to church? Or are you here because of good friends, good music, and a nice environment? Some sweet church people, right, that it's good to hang out with? Don't get me wrong, we need each other. We need relationships like this. In fact, we were made for fellowship, for relationships. But Jesus Christ, your love for Him and the desire to seek a personal relationship with Him must be always, always be your first desire, your real passion and motivation to get together with other believers to worship and praise His name. So, I want to invite you as well to seek the Lord and live. Only you can evaluate your relationship with God and make the decision to make it better, to make that relationship with Him stronger each day. So I want to encourage you to search your heart and ask God, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? And tell Him, Father, I want to make decisions that are based in Your Word and live to bring glory to Your name. So again, you may be facing some difficult challenges. We all are. Maybe you have already made some poor choices. But for more difficult the situation you are going through is, God still wants you to seek Him and live. He is offering you a better way to live. You still have time to surrender it all to Him, to bring into His presence and let Him take care of your problems. So, and if you need help with your relationship with Christ, please don't hesitate to reach out to any of the persons that are leading here at Cowboy Church. We want to help you and we want to walk with you in your faith journey. And as you move on with your life, maybe struggling and facing some difficult situations, please don't let God aside. Whatever you are facing, He will help you to get it right. He's reminding you to seek Him and live. I hope you open your heart to Him and pray something like this. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord, I praise Your name for Your renewed mercies every day. Father, today I choose to seek Your presence and to follow You. It doesn't matter how difficult it can be. Lord Jesus, today I choose to live for You. I want to seek You with all my heart. I want to honor You in all I do. Please, Lord, help me to love like You love and live like You live. And give me the chance to impact someone's life to bring glory to Your name. And we pray that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.